Would the real God please stand? Would the real God please stand? I think you'll understand that as I paint a picture for you from 1 Samuel chapter 4, chapter 5. Instead of reading it, just let me tell you the story, may I? A group of people called Israel were fighting against the Philistines. And it seemed like that as they went out to battle, they just got beat, and they ran home with their tail ducked under like a dog and crying out to God, "Why, God, did you promise to be with us, and why did we lose? We fought the Philistines, but we lost. Why? Well, they decided maybe if they could get the Ark of the Covenant with them, maybe they then could win the battle. So you're familiar with the Ark of the Covenant, this beautiful gold chest that contained the Ten Commandments. It also contained a golden jar of manna that had fallen from heaven, from which the children of Israel had been sustained for many, many years. It also contained Aaron's rod that budded. And these things were in the ark, and so they decided that if they could get this ark, which was a symbol of the presence of Jesus, of God, then they would be victorious. You see, the Ark of the Covenant was to them what in some churches is the chancel area would be, or the Lord's Supper table would be, the communion would be. And so they brought the Ark of the Covenant with them to their next battle. Well, the first battle, they had only lost several thousand people. So this battle, they knew they were going to go out, they were going to win, because they had the Ark of the Covenant. But you know what happened, people? The first thing that happened was when all the army people saw the Ark of the Covenant, they all shouted, "Glory, glory, hallelujah." They just shouted, and when the enemy heard them shout, they said, "What's happening? What's happening?" What kind of a pep talk have they been given during the intermission between two battles here? What has happened? And the enemy picked up notice that something was happening within the camp. Well, what it was the Ark of the Covenant. So the people went forth quite boldly with the Ark of the Covenant into battle, but you know what happened? They lost the battle. They lost the battle, and they had the Ark of the Covenant with them. Not only did several thousand people die, but 30 to 40, if I recall correctly, died in the second encounter. And furthermore, the Ark of the Covenant, that which represented Almighty Jehovah God, was captured. Now here we have the enemy now in possession of the ark. The reason that they got the Ark of the Covenant was because they won the battle. The reason they won the battle was because their leader said, "Come on, guys, let's fight. Let's come together. Let's get in unity." Well, the New Testament calls it, "Quit ye like men and rise up and fight." This is what the enemy did, and the enemy won. So they got the Ark of the Covenant, and the first thing they did was take the Ark of the Covenant into their temple of Dagon. Now, it was only last night that I thought, which was a beautiful afterthought, why didn't I bring to home this past week from the Casa de Swallow the Ark of the Covenant? How many of you remember the Ark of the Covenant that we had here 4 or 5 years ago? Some of you? And we used it at the high school commencement, remember that? We had the men bear this Ark of the Covenant on the pole, made as closely as the New Testament has instructed the people to make it. How beautiful it would have been at this point, so I want you to visualize this, the Ark of the Covenant being brought down to the front. The difference is the Ark of the Covenant was brought into this temple of Dagon. Now in the temple there was their god, because all temples have gods. And Dagon was a god that was in the form of a human being from the feet up to the midsection, and then from the midsection on up in the shape of a fish. Now, what I just said was not true. It was just the reverse of that. The fish was the lower part, and the upper part had hands and arms, and had the face of a man or a woman. That was Dagon. The Bible speaks about this. In fact, if you want to turn to Judges chapter 16, Judges chapter 16, verse 23, you'll find a prior reference to this Dagon, their god. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto whom? Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. For they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, unto our hands. Now this is the same Dagon God that we're talking about now, when we say, would the real God please stand? Because the ark was brought into the temple of Dagon. Now if you would please follow with me in 1 Samuel chapter 4, 5 and 6. This is the context from the story that I tried to paint to you. We find that in chapter 5 of 1 Samuel, they brought in verse 2 the ark of God into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. If you have the picture, you have a picture of Dagon, who this fish now, half fish and half man. The people worship and idolize. And then right next to Dagon, they have the beautiful golden ark of the covenant. You see, according to the word of God, the people of Israel always had to destroy the gods of their enemies. But in this case, they were not instructed to destroy the god. They were told to take the god, that is what was represented by the god, the Ark of the Covenant, and put it beside Dagon. You see, their gods were not adverse to two or three gods. You know, the more the merrier. We have all the gods you want. But according to God's word, Jehovah God says, I am sovereign and I will have no other gods before me. He says, I am a jealous God. Put away all the other gods. But in the temple of Dagon, there is Dagon and there is Jehovah God. Dagon in the form of a half man and a half fish. Jehovah God in the form of the Ark of the Covenant. Now look what happened. Verse 3. And when they of Ashdod rose early on the morrow, that is because they probably came early to do some kind of temple ritual work, behold, Dagon was fallen down on his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. You see, these priests come early in the morning, and they come to worship and sacrifice to Dagon, and they find that Dagon has fallen down before the ark of the covenant. Well, what does it say they did? They took Dagon and set him back up in his place again. Do you recall Isaiah saying, these people make gods, but they have to be nailed in place so they won't fall? You have to pick up your god and carry your god wherever you're going, whereas Jehovah God can carry you where you're going. So the priests come in, and Dagon has fallen down on the floor. What a shocking experience to walk in and find your god has fallen down on the floor. In verse 4, they rose early on the next day. Because remember, they put Dagon back up. The next day they come back early in the morning, and Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord, and this time the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to them. This is why I said, with the real God, please stand. Here we got two gods. One god fell down. They picked him back up. He fell down again. He knocked his head off. He knocked his palms of his hands off. They picked up the stump and put him there. But notice this. Notice this, verse 5. Neither therefore the priest of Dagon, nor any that came into Dagon's house, tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod upon that day. The threshold then became sacred because part of their god had thus fallen upon it. But the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he destroyed them, and he smote them with hemorrhoids. And later on, we find that he also sent mice to destroy them. I know the damage that mice can do. I know from people telling me the pain that comes from hemorrhoids. This is what happened to the people of Philistine because they dared touch God, the God of the children of Israel. When those people came to that place of worship and they found their God on the floor, they were crushed. They didn't expect this. They couldn't understand what had happened. Maybe it's accidental, they said. Next day, it was proof that it was not accidental. And it was proof of God's power, and it was proof of God's authority. And now those priests and followers had to jump over the threshold lest they not touch it, because it became sacred. And by religious customs of their own, they perpetuated their disgrace. And so today there are places where people kneel down and kiss thresholds. And when Christianity became corrupted, this adoration of the threshold took place. When Christianity became corrupted, the adoration of the thresholds took place. So the ark's there. The ark was placed there. It was first placed there as a token of victory. This is not uncommon, because we read in the Word of God where the sword of Goliath was taken and placed in near the altar. We read where Saul's armor was also brought in and placed in near the Ark of the Covenant. It was common of the day when you fought an enemy and you won an enemy, you took something that represented them and brought it to your temple. These people just did that, but the Ark triumphed. In other words, God is saying, I will not be worshipped above any other gods. Thus the kingdom of Satan will fall down before me, says Jehovah God. Error will fall before truth, profaneness before godliness, corruption before grace in the hearts of believers. God says, I will not have any other god before me. So this Dagon, who they thought was the father of Baal, and you know a little bit about Baal, fell before God. The same thing is happening today in King City. It is happening in your lives, where the kingdom of God stands firm and strong against the kingdom of error before Satan. And today in King City, we are somewhat in a predicament like this, where truth will prevail over error. When the interest of religion, here, when the interest of religion seems to be ready to sink, yet even then, may we be confident that the day of triumph will come. Great is the truth, and it will prevail. But some set up what God has knocked down. Malachi 1:4 speaks about this. But he is shown the end of all that which is set up in opposition to him, even what Christian people do in the name of the Lord. The things that are set up ahead of God will fall down before Almighty God. So the question is, will the real God please stand? And you know who the real God is. Nothing can stand ahead of him, because he says, I'm a God of jealousy. Nothing, nobody. All of the earth will ultimately fall before him, if not now, then. All people who pridefully stand before God, all of the things that we have as gods will have to fall down before Jehovah God. Now, Jesus Christ is the true Ark of the Covenant. Jesus is the true Ark of the Covenant. And all other gods that you have will have to fall down before Jesus, the true Ark of the Covenant. The gods that you have got to fall. Now you say, I have a God? I have Jehovah God. He is my God. But let me tell you, folks, we all have gods that have got to fall down. They've got to fall down. I'm talking about tangible gods. I'm talking about intangible gods. King City examples. Number one, houses and cars. Number two, real estate. Number three, jewelry. Number four, pleasures. Do I need to go 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10? These are the tangible things that some people place ahead of God. They bring them in to themselves and they say, these are mine. Of course, I worship God, but these are mine. But God's word says they will have to fall down before God. Those are some tangible things. Intangible things that are just as bad. I speak of pride. I speak of self-love. I speak of worldly lusts. These are intangible gods. You see, we possess a temple life into which we place our gods. We possess a temple life in which we place the spoil of our victory. Let me lead you to 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 31. 1 Kings 12, 31. He made a house of high places and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. Jeroboam's idolatry. He's going against God. A leader who chose not God, but who chose the way of the world, chose the pleasures of mankind. Made a house of high places. You know, we have high places around here. We have high places that we've set up. And these high places have got to fall down. Because God says, I cannot stand before these high places. Now look at 1 Chronicles, if you will, 10:10. Reads like this. They put the armor in the house of their gods and fastened his head in the temple of Dagon. Again, Dagon. What's happening here? We have Saul has been killed, and so the Philistines, when they find his body, take him. They put his armor in the house of Dagon, their idol. Just like we read earlier, they brought the Ark of the Covenant and put right there. But there's a difference between the real and the unreal. And the real stood, and the unreal fell. Now listen very clearly. When Jesus Christ, who is the true Ark of the Covenant, really enters into the heart of fallen man, which is Satan's temple, every idol will fall, every endeavor to set itself up against God will be in vain, and the Lord will come and possess his throne. When Jesus comes into the heart of an unbeliever, he has come into the temple of Satan. Because before you became a Christian, you were wholly of the world. And your body's a temple, the word says. And so before you became a Christian, your body was the temple of Satan. But when you became a Christian, when Jesus, the true Ark of the Covenant, comes into the temple that we're talking about, this meaning our own bodies, then every idol is going to fall. Every endeavor to set itself up against Jesus will be in vain when the Lord comes and possesses the throne. Now we've mentioned some of these gods, tangible and intangible gods, but take three of the intangible ones, the pride, self-love, and worldly lust. Though they have been dethroned, they're dethroned, Lord, in my life. Unless they are removed, they come up again and again and again. And even though you crucify them, from time to time, pride, self-love, and worldly lust will come up. Dethroned, crucified, but still remain in us like the stump of Dagon. And that is why we need deliverance, so they will not prevail. That is why we need to recognize that they've not been entirely destroyed, though we talk good and look good about them, they're right there. Death is the final destruction of the worst enemy that dwells within us as Christians. Would the real God please stand? And I see little gods popping up in my mind's eye. I see myself as a temple. I see yourself as a temple. But I see inside of you not only the Ark of the Covenant represented by Jesus Christ being the true Son of God, but I see the little gods, some stand in arrogance and in boldness and in great defiance of Jesus. Others have fallen down. Some have fallen over. Some are almost out. Some are still in. I see these things in our temple. And that is why Jesus says, I must come in and do something within your temple. I must take out what is within that is the gods in your temple. The Philistines brought in the Ark of the Covenant and they put it right there beside their God. And during the night, the God that was right there just fell over. And they came in the next day and they said, oh my, what a pity, our God has fallen. And they picked up the God and they set their God up straight again. Everything was just right, they thought. It was an accident, you know. They lived on a fall, an earthquake maybe. But you know what happened? The next morning, early when the priest came in, they came and they discovered to their horror and amazement that their God had fallen down, hands broken off, head broken off, and it had fallen before the God of the Israelites. Praise God. The real God stands. Sing it. Our God reigns. 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 Our God reigns.
I thank you, Father God, that you reign. You are supreme. You reign. And you can reign in our temple if we will let you. This doesn't mean that you automatically reign in all of our hearts, but you will reign as we will allow you. Father, I ask now in the name of Jesus, as we stand in your presence, that your Spirit would minister to us, our eyes would be open, that there are gods in our lives that must be dethroned. There are gods that must fall before Almighty God. And as these fall, our God becomes stronger and stronger and stronger in our lives. And then we have the power, as never before, that you have promised us. Father, as you minister to people this day, I praise your name. I stand before the people and say again that what we see is the power of God, the healings that take place, the deliverances that take place. It is of God. It is not of this servant. I magnify you, Father, as Nancy also. We praise you, Father God, that you are in the healing business. You are in the deliverance business. You're in the blessing business. And this day, there can be, first of all, salvation for that one here who is not saved. There also can be healing and deliverance. Bless the people, Father, as they respond as if they are standing here before you and you alone and nobody else around them. For we praise you.